Yesterday morning, as is my custom, I went off to the base of Mount Ainslie and ran around for a bit, for 5 kilometres. It's the park run. They write to you afterwards and they tell you where you came amongst all these people. And importantly, they tell you where you came in your age group. I came first in my age group. I was the only one in my age group. I came last too. Yes. Getting old has funny things happen to you. I guess my recent birthday, and I'm looking forward now to the next one, which is in one of those O ones, I'm beginning to think a little more, perhaps. Perhaps I'm beginning to think a little differently. And I'm beginning to find some affinity with the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, who famously said, "There is nothing new under the sun." It does sound rather a pessimistic sort of view, doesn't it? And I'm still of a mind that I rather like new things. They are shiny, they are fast, they are environmentally friendly and nutritious, they are good. But there is a truth, isn't there, in "there is nothing new." And I think, again, the older you get, perhaps the more becomes apparent to you that there is a truth in that what we might consider new is actually come from the old. There's always a precursor, isn't there? There's a sense in which newness is being made out of what was already there. The Latins would say, "Nova ex veteris." The new must be born from the old. And I like to think that the new is latent within the old. And that within the old there is always promise. My family has a particular hymn that's a favourite of the family that's sort of sung at different times, funerals and the like. It's actually a hymn about Mary, but it begins, "Ye who own the faith of Jesus." And in one of the verses we sing, "Blessed were the chosen people out of whom the Lord did come. Blessed was the land of promise fashioned for his earthly home." The land of promise. Where is this place? And what does this mean? Hang on to that question and I'll think about that. The parish council and I are currently engaged in the process of reviewing the covenant that exists between me and you. And in the not too distant future, you'll be given a document to look at to see what you think about our marriage, me and you. Because it's a little like that. It's a little like a marriage covenant, isn't it? It's meant to be a sort of a partnership of equals, which we will engage in. And it's full of hope and an expectation about the way we're going to engage in this great journey, in this great experiment, how we're going to engage in the life of God together. And so, bearing that in mind and thinking about covenant, I think we need to think a little bit about covenant when we think about today's readings. And they are demanding readings, aren't they? There are many different covenants that were entered into in the Old Testament. Most of them are between God and the people of Israel, through their patriarchs and their kings. So we have covenants with Noah and Abraham. We have covenants with Moses and with David, among others. Covenant is the basic paradigm of Judaism. There is one God and there is one people of God. And for the Jewish people to this very day, the obligation required under the covenant that they have is to obey the commandments given to them by God and enshrined in the Torah. It is, as I say, the fundamental, the undergirding of Jewish faith. And of course, that covenant, struck by Moses, is perhaps the most famous of them all. And we all know, don't we, the story of the giving of the tablets, and the child test them and all that. You know? What we call the Mosaic Law. But importantly, the Old Testament speaks of covenants before the giving of the law. There is the covenant with Noah, whom God promised, when God promised to Noah that never again would he send the waters of the flood over the earth. And importantly for us today, there is the covenant with Abraham, which if you look a little bit further in the book of Genesis, you'll find in chapters 15 and 17. Now these old covenants, the covenants of Noah and Abraham, I think we can best describe them as promissory covenants. And I think it's this that Paul wants us to consider. He wants us to know that Abraham was the recipient of a promise. He believed it, and he becomes the father of faith. And we see that covenant sealed by Abraham. He was Abraham, and he becomes Abraham. At that moment the covenant was sealed, you will be a father of many. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky. He was 75. Ouch. There was absolutely no hope of him being a dad to a multitude of nations. But Paul tells us that Abraham believed that this would happen. And this is the basis of the covenant, the covenantal promise. The promise that in God all things would be made new. That there is newness always. There is always promise. Abraham believed God, and in that way becomes our father in faith. It is the very foundation of what we are doing today. It's where we begin. Now our story, the story begins today with those great words, Abram wept. One writer described them as the boldest words in all literature. This is the beginning of something new, something better, something yet to happen. But this thing, this happening, is happening as things often do in the midst of the old, in the midst of the normal, the usual, the sort of daily life. Suddenly, something new is springing up. I mean, Abram's friends would have laughed at him, wouldn't they? You've got to be joking. You silly old codger. You know, where are you going now? There's nothing new under the sun, mate. That was their religion, wasn't it? Jesus says, you tell me you're a teacher of Israel, you don't know these things. Have you forgotten Abraham, your father in faith, where it all began? He was 75 and he believed that new things could happen. Remember Moses, just as the serpent was lifted in the wilderness, so this will be done again and renewed Spirit. Of course, if you look forward to the crucifixion, to the Friday of the crucifixion, we meet Nicodemus again, don't we? He helps Joseph Arimathea. Jesus is taken down from the cross. Nicodemus brings spices and ointments for anointing the body. Remember, the Pharisees don't touch bodies, particularly on the eve of the Sabbath. And I wonder, did Nicodemus look upon the cross and remember those words of Jesus? Just as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man was lifted up. Was Nicodemus stepping out in faith and saying, all things will be made new, even now, as they're preparing to bury the body of Jesus? I wonder if he was thinking, what is going to happen? What is this news? I wonder about his expectation. We live by covenants with each other. Often they're unspoken. We don't often think about them. We are bound to each other by a covenant of reciprocity. In other words, do unto others as they would have them, as you would have them do to you. It's a covenant, isn't it, that binds us. Our democratic way of life is a covenant. Our commercial life is a covenant, employer and employee. And at the heart of these covenants is promise, hope and expectation. But I wonder if, as we begin 2020, there's an erosion. I wonder if we are pulling back. I wonder if we're struggling to believe some of these promises. I undergird our own way of life. I wonder if we are not believing in promises. So can I suggest to you that in this Lenten season, perhaps in every season, our role is to cultivate the land of promise. This is our role. This land, where is this land? Well, I'm looking at this land. This land is us, it's the human family. It's not a place. It's a group of people through whom the spirit of newness is blowing all of the time. It's us. The human family which Jesus has promised to be with. So when we celebrate a God who is faithful to his promise, there's a sense in which we are renewed. There's hope and there's understanding together when we gather, when we meet, when we discuss, and yes, even when we disagree. We cultivate promise. Now, sometimes we're tempted to think, this is very unpromising. I've seen that from time to time, I'm sure you can imagine. And that's true. But let us keep focus on God's promises, the very foundation of our faith, which so often come out of old and unpromising situations, and which are made new again. We are doing just that now. We are making new, once again, God's promise to be with us as we give thanks together, as we make Eucharist. God is present, and we believe it, the foundation of our faith. So, the promise offered to Abraham is the promise to us. Behold, I make all things new. Things that you didn't believe could exist. I'm drawing them out of the old material. And it gives its voice finally in that wonderful statement that we heard today. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life.